On the day of Pentecost, in this uttermost part of the earth, we gather to sing praises and give glory to God, to receive the Holy Spirit, and to witness for Jesus. Pentecost, in one of my churches long years ago, I passed out slips of paper and pens or pencils. And as my sermon that day, I invited people to think about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit was to them, what they understood the Holy Spirit to be. No two people know God or the Holy Spirit in exactly the same way. And so I asked people to visualize the Holy Spirit, write down what they believe the Holy Spirit is or does. 80 or 90 people were there that Sunday morning. When they finished writing, their responses were folded and collected and then offered lovingly to God at the offertory and placed on the altar. Next morning in the office, I went through them. As expected, no two were quite the same. Most were quite simple. Some seemed especially thoughtful. A few were complex, though the love of God, which is the presence and blessing of God the Holy Spirit, is not necessarily complicated. Some took the exercise more seriously than others. Some remembered the catechism and the prayer book. Some reflected the Nicene Creed, a line or two from the Creed. One or two quoted a line from the Athanasian Creed or from a liturgy for holy baptism. When I'd finished looking at them, I laid out their answers, their sheets of paper, in no particular order, typed each one verbatim into a list with our worship bulletin the following Sunday, which was Trinity. Everybody came anxious to, people had said. What would you say? What would you say the Holy Spirit is? What is the Holy Spirit to you? Think about that as I speak, because I'm telling you that your thinking and your contemplating through this is more important than hearing what I have to say. And speaking for myself, one way that I've enjoyed answering a question like this is to extract a verse from the Bible, like so. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over churning chaos. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So therefore, from that verse, I can say, the Holy Spirit is God in the beginning, moving over creation. Moving, soothing, calming, pacifying. 1 Samuel 16:13, the Holy Spirit is the loving presence of God who came down upon King David at his anointing as king and never left him. The Holy Spirit is whatever danced on the disciples' heads as tongues of flame on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is whatever came down upon Jesus as a dove at his baptism in the River Jordan. The Holy Spirit is what Jesus promised to send after his ascension to comfort and empower us. The Holy Spirit is whoever or whatever came upon the Blessed Virgin Mary as she conceived the Lord Jesus. Last summer, most of you know this, remember this from last summer. Last summer, I made 3 Jesuit silent retreats at different Ignatian retreat centers, one in Alabama, one in Georgia, one over in Louisiana. And at one, during my daily hour with my spiritual director, he, who was Roman Catholic clergy, spoke of the Holy Spirit as Mary's husband. And I said, "Mary's husband, how do you get that? Joseph was Mary's husband." And he said, "Oh, no. Joseph never touched Mary. Mary's husband was the Holy Spirit with whom he conceived the Lord Jesus." And I said, "I've never heard that expressed. Is that okay with your bishop and your church?" And he said, "Yes." So in perceiving the Holy Spirit, that's his definition of the Holy Spirit. It accommodates the Roman Catholic need to keep Joseph as far from Mary as possible. But in archaic terms, it unveils the mystery and it engenders the Holy Spirit with an anthropomorphic maleness that I think the Nicene Fathers would never have accepted. And so now, with absolutely no intention of being facetious or sacrilegious, I'm asking you, do you think of the Holy Spirit as gender-specific male in that sense, as he or it or she? Do you think of the Holy Spirit as Mary's husband? And if you do, that's fine. I will tell you that notion stretches my envelope a bit. To the prayer book. Now sanctify this water by the power of your Holy Spirit, that all who here are cleansed from sin and born again may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Savior. In the life of the church, the Holy Spirit is God's power that sanctifies the water of baptism through which we are reborn in the Holy Spirit. Going to the Bible again. Jesus promises you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit is God who empowers you to witness for Jesus. But it's scary. It's not scary because you are scared to go knocking on doors. If you were here last Sunday, you heard Father Steve's sermon that the Holy Spirit calls us to witness for Christ. A scary notion for Episcopalians in this uttermost part of the earth, where witness is literally a four-letter word. And you should be scared, because do you know what Jesus says? You do not know. You do not know. Esseste mou martyris. Esseste mou martyris. You will be my martyrs. You will be my martyrs. The New Testament Greek word for witness is martyr. Martyr is a word for witness. You will be martyrs for Christ. That's your vocation. That's your calling as a baptized Christian. And so this comes to our exercise for today. I'm not going to pass out pencils and slips of paper. We shall do this in the Spirit. Jesus calls you to be his witness, his martyr. And I'm asking you, how will you witness? How will you be a martyr for Jesus Christ? Think about that. And as you think about it, I want you to remember two apostles in the hymn. They cast their nets in Galilee just off the hills of Brown, such happy, peaceful fisher folk before the Lord came down. Young John, who trimmed the flapping sail homeless on Patmos, died. Peter, who hauled the teeming net head down, was crucified. How will you witness for the Lord Jesus? Here at Holy Nativity, we join with God every Sunday morning and during all the Sundays of Easter at the 10:30 service, we renewed our baptismal covenant. And you know the baptismal covenant. We did it together all those Sundays. It's in two parts. And the two parts are, do you believe and will you? And the three do you believes are the foundation, the cornerstone for the will yous. The five will yous are your pledge to witness for Jesus, your minimum Christian witness. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power and you will be my martyrs, my witness. How can you witness? It's easy. Take out a prayer book from the pew rack in front of you. Turn to page 290.